Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hello, friends, and welcome inside, at least for me, Ben Garrett, the talk of champions, Riverland Roofing Studios, Riverland Roofing. For all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297. Welcome to a live edition of Talk of Champions. That's Bradley Sowell, former Ole Miss offensive lineman, 8-year NFL veteran. Hadn't talked to Brad since all the Lane Kiffin stuff went down, but even more than that, as I'm getting blown up by a former player who's working hard. We're going to talk some recruiting because it's Davern Gerald's son, Deuce, who is a big-time recruit, top 100 recruit. It's his decision day. It's Ole Miss or LSU, Jace Matthews, who Ole Miss has been after for a long time, committed to Auburn for a long time, cousins with Dante Moncrief. Ole Miss is making a real push for him as well. And, again, today the hope is Ole Miss can get some clarity on those two specifically and potentially could land both of them. We'll get into all of it. But, Bradley Sowell, my friend, how are you, man?
Good, Ben. The real question is, how are you, dude? When I think when everything went down, I texted you and said, congrats on being Ole Miss's Hawk Tua legend. So you went full Hawk Tua status on us. Actually, pretty interesting thing. How are you doing, man? Are you good?
I'm good. I'm good. I appreciate you asking. It's been really wild. I mean, I'm again, folks, virality doesn't bring you millions of dollars. It's the same day every day, but there's a lot more voices in your ear and people saying things in your mentions and on your message board. But for that, I thank God for it, man, because so many people got to know so many new people, and y'all have really supported not just me in this show, but the Ole Miss spirit. And the way to see Ole Miss people rally this week has been really, really, really cool. So
I think if you remember, I mean, I felt pretty confident he was going, and then when that happened, everybody was coming after you, and I said, okay, I'll give us about 3 days and it's gonna flip quick. Everybody's gonna be on board with what Ben said, because they were defending him, you know, at first, and everybody was trying to come at you like, you know, get all on you, then all of a sudden it flipped, you turn into a hero. So I knew that was coming. It's man, that whole thing, I know I haven't spoke on it since it happened, was I mean, just petty. I mean, you got a freaking the hottest name in the business going to attack little old Ben from New Albany. And that just goes to show you where his mind is, what kind of person he is. So just a freaking, I mean, I had you the whole time. I was like, man, that's just the fact that that's what's on his mind. Then he texts you again and then called, like, come on, dude, like making what's supposed to be the biggest decision ever. And you're freaking attacking a guy trying to feed his family that made a lame analogy, you know, like it is what it is, man. Like I wouldn't get all hung up on it.
Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, in the moment, I wish I'd have reacted a little differently, but I swear it sounds nuts, but belief in Jesus Christ is nuts, I guess. The choice is simple. Either Jesus is exactly who he said he was, or he's a lunatic. And for most of my life, I said he was a lunatic. Now I say he's exactly who he said he was. Yeah. And I swear in that moment, bro, it's like a voice said, don't do what you think you're about to do.
There's nothing you could do. There's not a thing that you could have done right there. What are you going to do? Fight him right there with all the cops around him? Like, no, you let him talk because he's a child, and then you just laugh it off. I mean, dude, I could never imagine a Nick Saban or somebody doing something like that. Like, just think about it. Like, that's where your mind is after winning the Egg Bowl. And after, trying to make what's the, you know, I guess in between talking to God, you wanted to fight Ben Garrett. Like, what the hell, dude? What are we talking about, dude?
It's been a lot online, man. Some of the worst stuff I've ever heard said about me. And that's how I know God is real, bro. Because old me, that kind of stuff would have just, man, you know my mental, man. But who now
– I've dealt with it my whole life. There's always some kind of joke. It's hilarious. I don't care. Like, I don't care. The internet is so phony, it's not even funny. I don't care. I wouldn't have cared if I were you. I would have stood on it. I don't care, even if he would have stayed. I would have stood on it. I would have stood on that business and said, hey.
That's what I said. I like I said to him on the phone, like, I'm not apologizing for the clunky metaphor. Yes, crude as it was, it's the same thing as saying a zebra can't change its stripes or a leopard can't change its spots. But I do apologize for my role in it. But to find out through all the people that have reached out that I'm pretty dang sure this was coordinated, man, it just seems more nefarious by the day, but I'll refuse to let it get to me. I wish I'd have said something more in the moment. It was very loud on that field. And I was trying to be fair and equitable, and whoever was talking to my voice, I like to think it was God saying, don't do what you think you're about to do. I couldn't hear him. I put my hand on his shoulder, leaned in to listen. He said what he said. He was up the tunnel. I was in the tunnel with just Lane and his body man, and with both of his highway patrolmen, one of which wouldn't get his hands off of me. And for both, all of them, they had nothing to say in the tunnel. They were fine. We continued the conversation.
You didn't have to say anything. He did all the talking for you, buddy. Like there's no, he proved everything right. Like it just is what it is, dude.
Yeah. At the end of the day, if you wanted to prove the metaphor wrong, like a hit dog hollers, man, if you really wanted to prove it wrong, rolling up on me at the end of the Egg Bowl, and when I'm trying to hear, I didn't even think it was like that in the moment. I don't want to talk about this anymore because I'm really past this. Like I'm just so thankful for where Ole Miss is, and we got a lot to talk about. But in that moment, like I never felt like we had been talking already on the field for a little while, and he had multiple things he brought up, and I told him were incorrect, and I spoke to him, and then the last moment was caught, and it becomes this viral moment that quite literally results in thousands of people sharing their opinion of you and who you are and your family and what you look like, what you sound like, what you're thinking. And you know, you can't pray for God's blessings, and then when the blessing arrives, go, dang, I don't like how this looks. I don't like how the blessing looks, man. So I'm not even going to worry about it. I am going to say that I have nothing against Lane Kiffin personally. Our relationship was and is fine. He always knew my name. I talked to him 3 times a week for 6 years. I did a podcast for his son, but to find out it's coordinated in a way is very disappointing. But now it's about the business of Ole Miss, and the business of Ole Miss is really humming, and there's so many consequential things happening. And Lane Kiffin has played petty and vindictive on the other end of the LSU as he tries to burn the whole place down. That's just the truth. That's not not trying to be petty. It's just like we'll get into it, but for you, where Ole Miss is now with Pete Golding as head coach, with Lane out, the whole thing, you haven't really shared your thoughts. Just what's your overall thoughts about how everything went down, where everything is, and where everything's going?
Yeah, I think that, I'm not particularly upset Lane left. It's the timing in which he left, and that may be more to do with the calendar and all that. Like, listen, I said it before, I'd be at peace at whatever he did. I'm thankful for whatever he did for the program. He did. I mean, he did amazing things for Ole Miss. And I think the reason why you see a lot of national pushback is the timing in which he left. Dude, you left an 11-1 team, an 11-1 team contending that in my opinion, I mean, are they better than Ohio State? Probably not. Like, but they're damn good and have a chance to win a few rounds, in the playoffs. So I don't agree with the timing, man. The timing is unprecedented. I get it. LSU's good job, whatever. But the timing of that is extremely unprecedented. So it's just I don't know. It's hard to get on board with it with the timing of it. Now, as far as Ole Miss in the future, I've said it before, and I want to sound like a homer, but Keith Carter is that dude. There's very few people that I'm a huge fan of or aren't somewhat critical of. Keith Carter is handled this shit like a G. I mean, he did a great job. And I think moving forward, man, if Pete Golden, if that's who he chose, then I'm with it. They're going to financially back him. They're going to get the players in. That's what it comes down to, man. I mean, you got to be able to get players in the door. And although Lane was a great coach, but if we strike and get a good offense coordinator, and Pete is, to me, a really personal guy, I think our high school recruiting is going to get better. Lane was atrocious recruiting high school, and I think when I was at State, you sit in the meeting and look, you can create a presentation to all the Mississippi kids and show exactly where every one of them had been since they went to Ole Miss's program. None of them have done shit. Like, it's atrocious how bad he was at high school recruiting and how bad all the kids have turned, and hardly any have panned out that have came to Ole Miss. I mean, you can put together a whole list over his tenure there. So I think Pete will be a little better at high school recruiting. I think that as long as we can get behind somebody with the right money and the right coordinators in place, I mean, I don't think Ole Miss is going anywhere. I really don't.
I keep muting my mic and forgetting. I don't think they're going necessarily anywhere either. There's going to be a drop off if there is a drop off. Just Lane Kiffin is on a level unto himself as far as an in-game offensive mind and play caller and scheme person. Like he's different in that way. That's what makes him who he is. He's a beautiful football mind in that way. But you're right. There are legitimate issues that come with Lane Kiffin because, again, everything orbits around Lane Kiffin. But he wasn't in those recruiting wars every single day as his assistants were, and Pete Golding was able to keep all of the defensive staff. And then on the offensive staff, Keith Carter was here on Talk of Champions yesterday and mentioned that a hire could be coming the next day or two. So we're in that window now of a big addition to Pete Golding's staff that he thinks Ole Miss fans will be excited about. I don't know who that is. We've heard some candidates. I mean, Buster Faulkner going to Florida, that one hurts because I know that Ole Miss was very interested in him. But John David Baker makes a lot of sense as OC. Ole Miss has talked to Derek Nix about bringing him back. That could play a role in Jace Matthews today, for example, if he is coming back, and Dante being here leading the recruiting office in many respects. Joe Cox, I've heard, even though he left the plane and got on the plane, I feel bad for all his assistants. They felt like they had to get on that plane. And some of them said, nah, I'm just not doing it. John Garrison didn't do it. Now he's re-signed with Ole Miss. I think that's a testament to Pete and Ole Miss and what's built around here. He stayed when he had an offer from LSU to go. And Lane Kiffin saying, if you don't, I don't care if you – like, you're not going to have a job then. And he stayed and he negotiated fairly and equitably with Ole Miss. And now he's their offensive line coach for two more years off the best season he's had as a coach. So I think as far as uniformity, Ole Miss was always there – from an organizational standpoint with roster building and stuff. But now everybody's pulling in the same direction. That same direction is when Lane Kiffin, who is unique unto himself, leaves and tries to burn the whole place down, a community has rallied. Now it's up to Pete and them to try to put their statement on and say that they, and win at a clip that Lane was winning at and prove that they are who they think they are. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, who's to say Pete's not Ole Miss's Marcus Freeman or Kirby Smart. I mean, all those things are true. But now it's about doing the work. And if today they're able to land, which I think right now, I'm not reporting they're going to. I'm saying right now, if you ask me, Ben, do you think Ole Miss is going to land Deuce Gerald and Jace Matthews today? I would say yes. And what huge additions they would be.
Yeah, would be huge, man. Going back, touching on, my feelings on some of the unprecedented stuff that happened with the coordinators, man. Listen, if you left – I get it, Lane. The head coach leaving, totally different, right? Those position coaches are basically your dad. You know, those you lean on your position coach so much, you hardly ever interact with a head coach as a player. Those position coaches, you're in that meeting every single day with.
It's worse now than it's ever been.
If you got on that plane and walked on your players, you are a freaking coward. And I don't care. I would tell – I hope any of them ever call me. I would tell them straight up, you're a coward. Right, that there is a unwritten rule in sport. You just don't do that. Not this run. Now, when the head coach goes, I get it. That's why I respect Charlie Rice coming back and calling plays. Like, I mean, I know a lot of people have been outspoken, but I'm good with it. I'm good with it. Head coach is totally different, man. You are like the man. It is so weird how unaccessible head coaches are for the most part. Like, they are the manager, man. You spin and joke. You do all the stuff. You go over to your position coach's house. You eat with them. Like, man, those are your guys. Just the rule, you don't freaking go leave your guys in the middle of this run. You don't. It's a coward move to do, and anyone that did it is a flat-out coward for doing it. The head coach is a different animal. Like, I get it. He had to go. Like, I'm not even mad at it. The timing sucked, but, go to LSU. No big deal. Position coach, man, you walk out and leave your 11-1 playoff team, shit, you ain't shit to me. That's terrible. I mean, that is a terrible – terrible look, terrible message. You are telling those players, F you, smack them right in the face. I have never seen position coaches walk out like that, ever. Any coaching change, man, you're the voice of reason. As soon as a head coaching change happens, man, the position coach is always the one that rallies around and makes sure that those kids finish the job and have, the support they need. If I am a recruit going to LSU and you're a position coach that walked out, my son would never play for you because you show that you don't give a shit about those players, period. You don't. You don't care at all. Position coaches never leave. Position coaches stay till the end, man. It's freaking 19 to 20 extra days that you had to commit to these kids. You, they don't need you down there for those 20 days or whatever it is, the next month. And you walk out on kids that have freaking gotten hurt, you know, freaking sweated, lifted every day, strained to make your ass money, to make you look good as a coach, when it's always about the players, and you run off and leave them at the end. Coward, straight up coward.
I'm not going to argue or add anything to that. I appreciate you saying your piece. And man, somebody stop the man when he ain't speaking facts, when he isn't dropping truth. You know what I mean? But I do agree, or I would only say, in defense of some of these coaches who I know well, and you know them well too, Lane Kiffin put them in an impossible situation. So I don't begrudge a Charlie Weiss who said, if you don't come right now in service to me, Lane Kiffin, not Ole Miss or yourself, me, I'm blackballing you. Feeling like he had to keep his options open and get on the plane, man, that's an impossible situation. Same thing with some other guys. But we've been getting some questions as well about other potential additions, one of which was in regards to Derek Nix and Ron Roberts. I reported on the Ole Miss Spirit, OMSpirit.com, an affiliate of On3, that, and this was earlier in the week, and you can sign up today for $1. I think it was a couple days ago. Ron Roberts, who was the Florida defensive coordinator last year, 30 years of coaching experience. That's where Pete, he's the guy that got Pete going in this business. And yeah. I think he's got a lot of interest from different places, but I think the Ole Miss possibility is very real. And if he came in, I think he'd be co-DC with Brian Brown, because you do have to fill out some of those kind of roles. I think that's a realistic possibility. Same thing with Derek Nix. Derek Nix was on staff for 15 years. And the key here with him, with Ron Roberts, and with Frank Wilson, if you can get all of them, is just figuring out what the roles look like. Fortunately, Frank and Derek both have flexibility. They've coached multiple positions before. So, excuse me, Joe Cox, I've heard that Joe Cox has a chance to actually come back. If he were to come back, he's the tight ends coach. But if he doesn't, Frank can coach tight ends. If Ole Miss doesn't, if Frank doesn't coach tight ends, he could coach running backs. If Kevin Smith leaves, Derek Nix could coach running backs, also wide receivers. It just depends. All Pete's looking for is building out the best staff ever. Because one thing that needs to be crystal clear here, when you're a head coach going and looking for a position coach, you're looking for the best coach. You're not looking for, all right, who is the, well, give me a list of running backs coach. Like, all these guys believe they're head coaches and can coach any position, right? Not that you want to take a tight ends coach and let him coach the linebackers just to see what it looks like. But what I'm saying is like, Pete Golding's looking for the guys who have the most, have the best resume for what he needs in this Ole Miss staff. Recruiters, trustworthy people, his guys. I mean, Frank Wilson, he was Frank's first DC at UTSA. So, like, all of this stuff you're hearing is very real, but it's very fluid as well, because these coaches, like, whether they got to get on a plane or not, have to make real-world decisions for themselves. So we'll see how it plays out. I think Ole Miss feels very confident, or at least is very optimistic off the dialogue with those three coaches. There are more to come. Losing Buster Faulkner as the OC to Florida, I don't know if they lost him per se, but, like, they were talking to him, interested in him for him to make that move. Obviously, they would love to continue to entertain that. John David Baker's a guy on the board, but you're starting to see some stabilization of that. And that's where the recruiting piece comes in with Deuce Geralds and Jace Matthews, and why you're starting to see real momentum in that direction. And if you ask me today, Ole Miss would land. But, like, you know, those guys, those coaches, you know it better than anybody. Those coaches, I think we get a little too much in the weeds as media and fans going, well, he's not a traditional running backs coach. No one is a traditional running backs coach. You know what I mean?
Listen, man, I've been with Derek Nix and Frank, both of them, unbelievable recruiters. And that's what it's about. It's about getting the players in there. I mean, both those guys have coached long enough to coach either position. But at the end of the day, the amount of recruiting value they're going to bring, it would be mind-blowing to me if Lane didn't keep Frank Wilson. As I'm going to tell you right now, Frank Wilson is the godfather of, like, New Orleans. Like, that dude can get every – think about the guys he got at Ole Miss from the New Orleans and in the around Louisiana area that was really good. Kendrick Lewis, Mike Wallace, freaking Marche Green. Like, that dude is a known – if you don't want him on your staff, you're ignorant. You're ignorant because he is a damn – he is a high school – I mean, he's a dog. I mean, he would bring us Louisiana talent that we would never even come close to getting. Derek Nix, same way. I mean, both those guys are unbelievable recruiters, and I'm taking them all day.
Absolutely. And here's what the latest is, at least according to everybody I'm talking to. And the one person that is truly dealing with this specific recruitment. Deuce Gerald's put it at an 8.5 out of 10 that Ole Miss lands him today. That is not me reporting it. I'm telling you the person that is actually doing the work. I can only tell you what I'm hearing. But it's Ole Miss or LSU for Deuce Gerald's today. And Deuce Gerald's is one of the very best prospects in the country. He would be Ole Miss's top-ranked recruit. That's just the bottom line. And Ole Miss,
I'm gonna call his dad when we get off here. I ended up getting him to come visit Mississippi State. Not proud of it, but I got him to come visit, and he is he's an excellent kid. Really, really twitchy. Really, really good ball player. I know his dad's letting him kind of decide where he wants to go, and I know it
as he should.
Yeah, it'll be. I'll call Davern here in a little bit because Davern actually trains a bunch of guys, and he would send me a bunch of videos of guys trying to get him into camps and get him there. So I wouldn't be. It would be awesome if he's coming. That must mean Frank, because I know Frank is Davern's guy. I mean, Frank and Davern are tight. That's probably how he got to Ole Miss. To be honest with you, because Frank was here when Davern was here. So I'll holler at him and see what the vibe is. But man, I would love to see him come to Ole Miss.
Yeah, I mean, he'd be such a huge addition. There's just no doubt about it. Ole Miss just flipped Jalen Chapman, offensive lineman. Let me look up Jalen, give you all his rundown here. That's the thing. Everybody got wrapped up on signing day. Ole Miss retained 80% of a top 25 class, fell out of the top 25, but like that was the first day of the first signing period. Signing day doesn't exist anymore. Like what we used to do, we all gather around TVs, you know, watch the people put on hats, Tony Connor throw up a land shark fin. I was there in the South Panola library. Right, to see Tony Connor do that. I was there to see Nick Brazel, and I was in the quarterback club for AJ
Brown. But let's be real. The high school recruits aren't going to matter for next year, for next season. I mean, there may be a few that end up getting to play. But look at a guy like Caleb Cunningham, who was a five-star that would boost your rankings in your high school class in a heartbeat. Right. But, I mean, it didn't really contribute. What's going to matter is if you can get a good core of young guys and then hit the portal as well. So it's just a different world, man. Like I think what Penn State signed two people yesterday.
Are you serious? Like well, they don't have a head coach. We got a big Penn State guy in the chat. Let me find him. Blair Stewart. I have a 2011 Penn State diploma. What does that say? Go for on eBay? They're having a rough go of it right now. Penn State player, dude. Thanks for hanging out with us. Ben Garrett, Bradley Sal. This is Talk of Champions powered by Riverland Roofing. The hat on my head, the little house behind me. My friend Billy Landis and what they do over there, man. Few, if any, are doing more for Ole Miss in the NIL name, image, and likeness space. Give them your business. Billy Landis from Riverland Penn Roofing, 662-644-4297. Also, what'd you say?
Penn State needs to go Brian Daboll.
At this point, what do you do?
You do that because listen.
I just said, dude.
You can't judge a coach based off of the damn Giants. Like it just doesn't happen. Daboll is a really good play caller, and you see what he kind of did with Jackson Dart. I think in college he would crush it. I do. That would have been one that I would have taken for us. I mean, I think that he is. The NFL game's not for everybody. It's not.
Penn State Blair says they dropped Daboll, man, and he would be. Yeah, you're kind of selling me on it. Like, well, at this point, what do you do? You know, because like everybody's falling off the board for them. They're the ones. I didn't think it would be Penn State at the end of this wild, insane cycle. That would be the last one left looking for a date to the dance. I mean, this is
they're probably looking for a unicorn. It's just tough, man. It's just there's not a whole lot.
Yeah, there's just it. This is I've been saying this. I've been consistent in this. This is. This entire cycle, even Lane, who still hasn't won anything, is making Kirby Smart money now. This whole cycle, all these candidates, it was going to be a bunch of doubles, regardless of who it is, sold as home runs and grand slams. Lane Kiffin is not Kirby Smart. If he'd have stayed at Ole Miss and won three more games and won a title, it would have validated him in that way. But anyway, he keeps jumping steps, skipping steps, because that's what he does.
Hey, I saw an interesting take this morning. These guys, and it was weirdly kind of struck me a little bit. It said, "Does Lane does he get scared when it's time like nut cutting time, basically?" So you got to think we were 7-1 one of his seasons. He finishes 8-4, flirts with Auburn. Okay, we have the
Auburn
greatest team.
That flirtation with Auburn too.
We like have the
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Springhill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
We have the greatest team, greatest roster in Ole Miss history. We go 9-3. This year, the college football playoffs are in play. He leaves. It's got a little trendy. 3 of his 6 seasons ended in a weird spot. I mean, last year's roster had 8 NFL draft picks, and we lose to Kentucky at home. Like, I'm thankful for Lane. He did great stuff at Ole Miss, but shit. I mean, he when we needed him the most at times, where the hell was he?
Mm. And the bottom line is, Ole Miss lost twice last year as a double-digit favorite, not because of Pete Golding's defense, which was historic and handpicked by Pete Golding. Trey Amos was his guy. Walter Nolan was his guy. Jared Ivey was his guy. Yeah. I mean, don't let me keep going here. You know, Chris Poupaul was his guy. He picked his defense because Lane said, you're the CEO of the defense. That's how why you've seen like such a clean break between the defensive and offensive staffs. It was quite literally that kind of separated.
Yeah, 31-6. 31-6 is what Lane's been since Pete Golding's been here.
And meanwhile, without Pete Golding, he was 23-13. But if we're just going to use numbers, you know what I mean? Like, let's treat it for what it is. People could say, well, Pete's defense is 52nd in efficiency this year. Also, he replaced all but one of his starters on defense.
Yeah.
And they're still 11-1. And last year, they only lost games as a double-digit favorite twice because of Lane's ineptitude offensively, stubbornness, pride, ego, refusal to play Ulysses Bentley. I'm not saying that Ulysses Bentley would have been the difference in a playoff spot or not. I would argue, actually, he would have been that simple. And you didn't play him not because of football reasons, but because of petty reasons, just as you're only recruiting now out of petty reasons, including, you know, when you walk into LSU for the first time as head coach, do that completely disingenuous press conference. And after the show is over, after the cameras are off, you go hide in your office for 9 hours while a staff that wonders at, like at LSU, guys who have families and have been there and been building a board for 1.5 years, trying to sign guys on Wednesday, you tell them, I don't care, they're not my kids, and they're recruiting their kids while you're saying, I'm recruiting all of Ole Miss's kids, I'm going to jack up the price on every single kid, and I'm just trying to get them because screw Ole Miss. And it's not for like, let me make LSU great. Let me go pick out the best talent for LSU in this two-day period. It was, let's get as many of Ole Miss's kids or screw with them as possible. And now Ole Miss has bounced back. It flipped a wide receiver from LSU. Today has flipped Jalen Chapman. He's a 3-star offensive lineman ranked, let me see, according to Rivals, the 210th interior offensive lineman in the country, 3-star, 6'2", 265, offers from Ole Miss, LSU, Alabama, Tulane, and USC, and Ole Miss has landed him. And then later today, I think Ole Miss is the favorite right now to land Deuce Geralds, the son of Davern Geralds, who is a 2026 prospect that was going to sign with LSU on Wednesday, but Ole Miss has made it interesting. 4-star, the number 48 player in the country, number 3 defensive lineman, number 6 player in Georgia, son of Davern Geralds, who was the center for Jevon Snead, God rest his soul. You know, he was on the cover with Jevon.
My guy, dude. It's my guy.
In 2009. Like, people, you know Davern.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like, how much he left because you get better talent at LSU, which is completely crap. I mean, you look at the numbers over the last 10 years or whatever. I mean, the Ole Miss is every bit of as good as LSU. But how much better of a roster is he going to get at LSU year in year out than he had last year when he lost the home game in Kentucky when we went 9-3? That roster had 8 NFL draft picks and a bunch of others that went. You think the roster is going to get that much better? You had a first round quarterback and a first round D lineman that is kicking ass in the NFL since coming back from injury. How much better do you think your roster is going to get at LSU? You're going to get 15 draft picks in a season? Like, I don't get it. Like, you went 9-3. You went 9-3 with that group. So,
and it was your fault. It was your fault. You didn't play Ulysses Bentley.
Have at it.
Yeah, someone asked, when is Bentley coming on? I'm working on it. It's a tricky thing. Just give us some patience. I think we have a better chance of getting Ulysses Bentley on now than we ever have before. So just hang tight. Probably not going to be tomorrow. Not going to be on Monday. But But I've been every single day I'm working on that specifically, and there's been a real receptive response to it so far from the people that it needs to be received well from. So just hang in there. And, you know, at the end of the day, man, it's just time to tell the truth and for what it was. And it's not hurt feelings. It's not, feeling some type of way about it. Like last year was on Lane. And this year, when a team surprised him with a former zero-star recruit at quarterback and a transfer from Division II Ferris State, he didn't expect to be 11-1. And that's what complicated a year in which he was planning to move regardless. And it's just unfortunate that it went down that way, because all Ole Miss wanted to do was celebrate. But if Ole Miss lands Deuce Gerald's today, if Ole Miss has already landed Jalen Chapman today, if Ole Miss lands Deuce Gerald's today, man, you're talking about a guy that would be the anchor of your class. And would really add some public facing momentum for Pete Golding and company, but that wouldn't be it necessarily. Jace Matthews, another 5-star. He got hurt this year. He's healing up. But I mean, he jumped Tristan Keys, who'd been the number one player in Mississippi for a lot of the year. He even went ahead of him, according to On Three Rivals, jumped him as far as ranking, and he's going to need about a year to develop, to get healthy, get his legs back under him. But you're purchasing a lottery ticket potentially with Jace Matthews. And when you do purchase a lottery ticket, you're not saying, all right, you better be ready for game one in 2026. What you're saying is you're buying it now for the potential sophomore breakout. That's kind of what Ole Miss is hoping with Caleb Cunningham. You know, even though there's rumors that Caleb is being pre-portaled, that those rumors are true. But every kid of consequence, even those that didn't play that much, like Caleb this year, unfortunately, because he got here late, all of those dudes are getting pre-portaled. All of them. Like this year to year, you have to make decisions right now. For this year, if you're hottest right now, pick the one that keeps you on that hot trajectory, because all of it could change within a few months. And there's no commitment to anything. And today, I think Ole Miss has sold both Jace and Deuce on being Ole Miss Rebels and being anchors, anchor recruits, commitment signees for a 2026 class. We'll see if it works out. I don't know if it will, but I know Ole Miss has worked its tail off and feels pretty dang confident. But what a big, it wouldn't be the final move, but what a big, I think, statement it would make, because you would have flipped a couple of LSU commitments, and, well, Deuce would be like a third or fourth LSU commitment while your coach is playing petty, and also land a guy in Jace Matthews that you've been wanting from the get-go. There's a lot of potential that this day could bring. I hope it brings it for Ole Miss fans, because it'll show them that these coaches have just been working their ass off and making it about the players, which is a nice change of pace, Brad.
Yeah, I think – I mean, I'm confident, man. Until we're proven otherwise, listen, Lane was our first NIL-era coach. We don't know how this is going to go without him, right? Who's to say that Ole Miss isn't actually just that program that can build and gets it? We'll see. Time will tell. I mean, I'm not making any crazy predictions. Hell, Pete Golden's a cool ass dude. I'll tell you that. And if he adds the right staff, which if he adds Nix and Frank, who are also unbelievable talkers to moms and parents and stuff. I mean, you talking about visiting Ole Miss and having a damn good time and getting a really good feel. Now, it's always going to be about the players, man. If he gets the right players and Pete will trust a good offensive staff, I'm telling you, man, like not a whole lot's going to change. Not a whole lot's going to change. I know too much about what it's been like under the Lane era from the inside, just because I've been on both sides. And I'm not so sure that others shouldn't deserve more credit. Especially with some of the play calling and stuff like that. And I'll leave it at that. But we'll see, man. Time will tell. If Ole Miss can get players in here, we're going to be good. We're going to be competitive. So it's going to be about the players. I don't give a crap how good you are. I mean, you look at Lebby right now. I think Lebby is one of the best offensive minds I've ever been around. But, man, he's at a damn bazooka fight with a damn pocket knife. like it just is what it is. His numbers don't lie. When he's been at teams that have the caliber of players that you need to win, he's had top five offenses, right? He don't have that. And it just shows it's going to be about the players. I don't give a shit how good you scheme it up. If somebody's just better than you, they're just better than you, right? Like there's a genetic factor in there as well, right? You look at Bill Belichick right now. Some gun can't damn win hardly a game in college, but he just sat there and Tom Brady freaking was a killer for him. So, I mean, it just is what it is, man. Like it's going to be about players now. Is it good to have a coach that can lead the ship and be innovative, have ideas? Yes. But that's only going to get you a few extra wins. The games are won with the players, the talent that you have.
100% nailed that. What time does Gerald announce at Rebel Boozer? 2:30 Central Time, I think. I think it's 2, or maybe 2:30 Eastern. 1:30 Central, 2:30 Eastern might be it. I was just told 2:30, and I just assumed it was Central because that's the time I live in. But either 1:30 Central or 2:30 Central, Google that if you need to. I'm sorry that I don't know it right off the top of my head. What was the real reason Bentley was benched, though, according to Horse Breather 99? I want that answer to that question. We all do. And I've heard a lot of things. I've been in Delane's office when he talked to me specifically about this, then pretended like he didn't know who I was to be petty because he's Regina George and a 50-year-old SEC head coach's body. And none of it made much of any sense. And then when you start to hear some rumors, and until we corroborate those, it would be irresponsible and petty on my end to do that. So long story short, man, I'll let Bentley tell that story when he's able. Right now, we're just working on getting him here. So what time is Jace? I'm not sure. I haven't heard that one specifically, but we'll see. We'll see if this is a bigger day for Ole Miss in that way. Landing two potential five-star prospects, four-star, depending on the service you look at. Ole Miss has made a real move for both of them. Here and now, I think Ole Miss, like if, for Deuce Gerald's, it's either Ole Miss or LSU. For Jace Matthews, it's, I don't know who else. I know LSU's in on him, Auburn's in on him, Ole Miss is too. I think Ole Miss has a good chance, if not better than anybody else, to land him as of right now as we're recording this. Talk of Champions at 10:05. There's a lot that needs to happen. But I feel confident saying that, guys, if it happens, don't go, oh, Ben was right. No, I could be completely wrong. No. But just understand that the game is flipped. The script is flipped in that way. And this staff is about business and closing in a way. Like, they just wanted to focus on the job, recruiting, preparing for a playoff, and all this stuff. And everybody got swept up in keeping up with the Kardashians, and that's unfortunate. This edition of Talk of Champions has been powered by, of course, Riverland Roofing. But if you're unhappy with or shopping your health insurance coverage, call Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group at 601-953-8449. That's 601-953-8449. Drew offers regular health, dental, vision, and Medicare supplement plans. He's an Ole Miss grad. Services 35 different carriers, and will make sure that you've got the right plan for you and your family. Call them at 601-953-8449. That's 601-953-8449. Or visit him online at quoteswithdrew.com. We're also proudly sponsored by my hometown bank of B&A Bank with branches in New Albany and Tupelo. Here in New Albany, you know, I go over to my bank and see Carolyn Brownson and Witt and all my other friends. Man, it's just like walking into a high school reunion in a lot of ways. And they're people I can trust and know because I'm stupid as hell with finances. Ask Brad. I know they'll tell me the truth and show me what I need to do to not bankrupt myself and especially my wife and two kids who don't need me to be dumb. So go hang out with B&A, man. Get to know them. They'll love on you. They'll help you. It's more than a bank. It's a friendship. 662-534-8171, 662-534-8171. And then Tannehill Carmen, real estate and title sponsors as well. Served doctor for over 20 years, criminal defense, personal injury, real estate, probate, estate planning. If you're buying a condo, just looking to climb up the property ladder, call Zach Bonner and his team over at Tannehill Carmen Real Estate and Title today, and they'll take care of you. Good, good people. All right. So, as we wrap this thing kind of – oh, this guy says that Jace has already signed with Auburn. I don't think that's true. We'll just wait and see. I'm pretty sure that's not true. As far – there was one question, though, that Blake Baker's leaving for LSU – is leaving LSU to join Pete at Ole Miss. No, that is that – no. He's going to get to be the head coach at Tulane. Hearing Ron Roberts to Arkansas, it could happen. But Ole Miss has been talking to him as well. Who are we getting as DC, Ben? Well, you have a DC right now. It's Brian Brown, who was a DC at Louisville, DC at Appalachian State. But I think they're wanting to pair – Pete wants to pair with him like he was paired with Brian, a co-DC. Ryan Roberts is somebody we've heard, but that's not the only candidate. But someone asked specifically about Charlie Weiss, and I think it's interesting. And I wanted to get this question to you before we got out of here because I know you got real work to do. You're at work. You have work to do. Chase is at 2. Gerald's will be at 1:30. So it wasn't 2:30. It was 2:30 Eastern, 1:30 Central. So thank you for that. Chase is at 2. But anyway, Charlie Weiss. Really, when you talk about the guys getting on the plane, you think about Charlie. And he was put in a really crappy position. Now he's coming back to call Ole Miss, a place for Ole Miss in the playoffs. Here's what I know about Charlie. There is a real possibility he is Ole Miss's offensive coordinator longer than the playoffs. He signed an MOU. Most of my understanding, if someone wants to correct me, let me know. He signed an MOU, not a contract, because you can't be contracted by two places at the same time. Lane can claim permission, but that's not how this works. because Charlie is still contracted through Ole Miss, even if he signs an MOU with LSU. So that allows him, from a paperwork standpoint, documentation standpoint, to coach Ole Miss in the playoffs. But he didn't want to be making that decision, LSU or Ole Miss or G6 opportunity head coaching jobs that he has real opportunities to get, like Memphis, for example. He wanted to leave his options open. That's why he got on the plane. So I don't think he's here to, like, do some spying something or other for LSU. He's here to call the plays for Ole Miss and also has all those options still on the table, LSU, Ole Miss, and Memphis, and I don't think his future is decided yet. So when you're thinking about offensive coordinator candidates, Charlie Weiss is one of them. Buster Faulkner no longer is. John David Baker is. But if Ole Miss comes out of this with the bulk of the staff remaining in place, you already got John Garrison back. Kevin Smith's probably gone to LSU. I mean, let's be honest, after the playoffs are over. But Austin Thomas, I've heard, is coming back as general manager. Kelvin Bolden's already back. I don't know if it's been announced, but, like, that's happening. If you end up with essentially the exact same staff, only minus Lane, what a statement I think that is about who Lane is and how he's handled this.
Yeah, I think the whole Charlie thing, I'm cool with him coming back coaching. I think because listen, assistants always stay in place. That's what I'm saying. It's crazy that, I mean, I get it, the head coach leave, assistants always stay.
Uh-oh, we lost Brad. We've lost Brad. That's unfortunate, but this edition of Talk of Champions has been a lot of fun. I hope y'all have enjoyed it. We kind of threw it together at the last minute. I know Brad's got a lot going on. If we can get John David Baker back, according to @DanielMaples904, as we wait to see if Brad can come back. Yeah, there's Brad. If we can get John David Baker, I'd rather have him back in Oxford. Yeah, if John David Baker is the OC, though, Brad, like from a plug-and-play, just like schematic standpoint, that's probably like the most seamless potential move, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, he's a product of the Kiffin, Levy, all that scheme, very similar. He's done very well at East Carolina. One thing about him, though, he's a hell of a recruiter. He is. He would go along with that vibe, that Pete Golden, the just smooth, like laid back, can talk to parents, like just a good dude. I can just see it now. You get freaking Golden, Nix, Frank Wilson, John David. I mean, you got some killer recruiters in the building. So I'm all for John David. I think he's awesome. I think he understands it well. He was a tight ends coach for a while. Tight ends coaches are always always the job to have. So he's going to understand run game. He's going to understand O-line play. He's going to understand receiving. He's going to understand it all. So, I mean, he's done well. I mean, East Carolina, he's ranked 14th in the country in offense. That's pretty damn good. I don't think there's many people wanting East Carolina's players. So, I mean, he's done well. They're 8-4. They've won there. I'd be all for it, man. I would be all for it.
Yep, and as would Daniel Maples 904. If we can get John David Baker back, I'd rather have him back in Oxford. And trust me, from a lot of ways, it makes a ton of sense. At the Book of Lebs, are we getting Frank Wilson? There's been substantive dialogue. Pete Golden was Frank's defensive coordinator, first defensive coordinator at UTSA. And they've talked to him. There's been substantive dialogue, but nothing is done until it's done. But they feel really optimistic as Ole Miss as of today. I mean, I can't predict what's going to happen. I can just tell you what I know, honestly. And that's what I know. Yeah, is Frank Wilson a legitimate candidate to come to Ole Miss and join Pete Golden's staff? Absolutely. And it's gotten ugly between Frank and LSU down there, specifically with Lane. Frank Wilson, is he coming? I don't know. But Ole Miss is talking to him, and they feel really, really optimistic about potentially landing him. I have one more question I wanted to nail on. Kevin Bolden is back at Ole Miss. I haven't heard it officially, but, yeah, like, he's back. If he's not back, then, like, I'm just missing something completely. I've talked to everybody, and they're just like, yeah, and Kelvin said this is going to happen and this and this and this. So you know what I mean? Like, he's working. He's part of this now. They haven't announced him, the best I can tell. Or maybe he's not. I don't know. But as far as I know, yeah, Kelvin's back. Word around town from a buddy of mine who is locked in and knows stuff better than anybody, former staffer on staff at Ole Miss. Word around town up in Memphis, Charles Huff of USM is about to get the Memphis job as of today, unless something changes. Wonder if that's why the Derek Nix coming back stuff is slowed down. That would make sense because you know what Derek wants to do? Continue to call plays. So if he can be the offensive coordinator at Memphis instead of the wide receiver running backs coach at Ole Miss, that makes sense for him because you don't want to be ever going backwards in this business, right?
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, once you get the offense, I mean, I guess you could if it was a better place and better pay. But, yeah, he's probably going to continue to call plays. But who knows?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, but when you start to see commitments from Louisiana prospects, especially one from New Orleans and Jalen Chapman, you think the Frank Wilson connection just makes more and more sense, doesn't it? And potentially with Deuce Gerald's at 1:30 today, he's announcing, and Jace Matthews, according to someone in the chat, and thank you for chiming in with those numbers. Jace is at 1:30. Jace's at, all right, here it is. Jace's at 2, and Gerald's will be at 1:30. Thank you, Nicholas Wade. This has been Talk of Champions. I'm Ben. He's Brad. So now that we're done, we're not talking about Lane stuff best we can for moving forward. This is an Ole Miss show, Brad. What would you say to Ole Miss fans that have been going through it, dealing with all this nonsense, not being able to celebrate the greatest season in Ole Miss modern era history? Now that they can, what would you just say to them about what they need to be feeling and rallying, so to speak, through all this nonsense of the last 2 weeks?
Man, I would say just rally around this team, right? Rally around these group of guys who that listen, call it what you want. You can do sad Lane Kiffin's. Lane Kiffin had thrown one pass, caught one ball, scored one touchdown, made one tackle. He hasn't done jack shit on the field, right? The guys that deserve our support, and I think Pete Golden said it best, I don't give a shit if the chancellor walks you out of the tunnel at this time of the year. You know, this is about you guys. It's about what you've earned, what you've done, and I hope a leader on.
No, we didn't lose him again as we're wrapping up. I guess there he is.
Sorry, I hope as a leader on this team, or I hope the leaders on this team rally around, you know, each other and make a decision. Make a decision to finish the job.
Finish the job and.
Sorry, dude. My phone is just the beeping. Do something special as a group, you know, and you know, rally around the team. Yeah, if you're an Ole Miss fan, it sucks. It sucks losing somebody like Lane, you know, or somebody that has done this for the program. But man, if you rally around it as a fan base, you know, it's just we are Ole Miss, man. Like we're Ole Miss. Like we aren't the Lane Kiffins. So let's rally around all the players, all the coaches, do what we can do, you know, to keep this thing rolling. It can continue to roll. I promise this can continue to roll. So it's going to take unbelievable support. It's going to take us, you know, everybody chipping in, being more locked in than ever. So I'm excited. I'm excited. All I've ever heard of is in the media is how Ole Miss has been portrayed. Oh, Lane Kiffin did this. You know, they did stuff Ole Miss has never done before. Guess what? He's the first NIL era coach. Mm. Let's see if we can keep it going. Because what's going to be funny is when they make a run or potentially win this thing or come out and win 10 games next year, and it's going to be like, oh, maybe Ole Miss is just them. Maybe Ole Miss can just build a team. Maybe they can pay for players. Maybe they can compete. Maybe it wasn't Lane Kiffin. That would be my motivation.
Like, you know how insane – of a cherry it would be on top of this, whatever this is, this shit Sunday.
Ben, I think your mic may be muted.
No, it's not. Well, you can't hear me, but they can. I'll just wrap it up this way. What a win it would be, and what a story it would be if Ole Miss did win a title without Lane Kiffin and gets the final word in that way. We'll see how it goes. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben on Twitter. He's Bradley Sal, former Ole Miss offensive lineman, 8-year NFL vet. Thank y'all for joining us on this edition of Talk of Champions, another live edition. We'll be doing many, many more. I'm live every single day, Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, talking about this stuff and answering y'all's questions in the chat. Brad will be with me anytime he wants. He knows that. We've been doing it at least once a week, working on doing many, many more, potentially a daily thing. So y'all stay tuned for that. For Brad, I'm Ben. We'll see you soon. Thank you, Brad.
See you, Ben. Howdy, toddy.
Oh, man, the chat went crazy today.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.